Welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. It's episode number 456. My name is James Gilmore. Joining me today is Rick Cowley.
Hello.
Hi. I'm just back from Helsinki. We had a very nice show. Thank you all for asking. I know you were worried. But record numbers at Pocket Gamer Connects this year. Show continues to grow. New location was interesting. We have a different hotel thing that we're holding it in. Rick, nothing happened while I was away that was of any importance in the mobile world or Nintendo?
Absolutely nothing.
No?
Total waste of time. Should have stayed out there, to be honest.
I'll just nip off then.
That's it. So that's the end of the podcast.
Good stuff. Welcome to the Rick Cowley Podcast. leave it in your hands. What would that be like? What would the Rick show consist of?
45 minutes of me talking about digital trains and weird anime games. I'm sure somebody out there would listen to it.
I might subscribe. For, one. I would log into iTunes just so I could leave a vaguely passive-aggressive message.
Oh, thank
you. A review. I know, right? Any kind of review is pretty good.
Exactly. Bumps me up the ratings no matter what you say.
Precisely. There you go. So in usual fashion, whenever I come back from Helsinki, I discover that Apple's announced a whole new range of mobile phones and Nintendo has decided to announce the release dates for every single important franchise first-party game that they have. So, great. Thanks for that. So, this show will be slightly different. I haven't played very much, being as I've been out in this show, but obviously we'll cover all of the news that's gone on since I've been gone, by which I mean I'll ask Rick questions about the news, and he'll tell me about it while I try and catch up. I will mention a couple of the new releases as well that's appearing on iPhone, iPad, and Android, and Switch. That's the other one we do, isn't it? Brilliant.
Yeah.
God, it's only been a few days, and I'm already sketched out. So, let's kick things off with the news. We mentioned about the new Apple phones that were appearing. Rumors abounded, and it turns out they were largely accurate. So Apple's rolled out three new iPhones, which will be going live right now as we record this. September the 14th was the live date. So you should already be having them in your hands if you happen to be made out of money. Or have sold one of your family members. So what if...
Well, you can pre-order them now. They don't actually launch till next week.
Ah.
You could be holding your receipts in your hands right now.
Cool. Are my receipts HDR and do they have OLED displays? And a PPI of 458.
They're so realistic, it's like you're really touching them.
So, starting off with the cheapest model, I suppose, which is effectively a refresh of the iPhone X. As far as I can make out, they've called it the iPhone XR, and it's sort of taken the place of the low-end model, which would be, for previous years, it's the iPhone SE, isn't it?
Yeah. They tend to do this thing with crappier models, for lack of a better word, where you can get them in lots of pretty colours. So that seems to be filling the market there, is it's clearly aimed at a younger audience who have less money to spend on a phone, but still have £750 to spend on a phone.
Because that was the plitch with the 5C when that model launched.
Yeah.
It was like the cheap version, it was a bit plasticky, but you had the funny zazzy colours. So it's called the iPhone XR, and it's basically the same size as the 10, I think. It's the 6.1-inch one. You end up with Liquid Retina HD display, which is not the same as the other models. We'll come to that. You've got the A12 Bionic chip. Now, is that the same as the 10 originally had, or is this...
This is the new chip that's also going in the 10S and the 10S Max.
Yeah, right, okay.
So it's faster and smoother and uses less energy, as all chips have done in the past when they introduce a new one.
It's the same spiel. I heard something about 7 millimeters or 7 nanometers.
7 nanometers, yeah, something like that.
7 nanometers is massive nowadays. Nearly a centimeter. That's like it's basically the size of a Neo Geo. So what they've done here is they've pitched it as the budget model, the cheaper one. I say budget, £749.99 for the entry level 64 gig. Version of it and going up from there on in. So if you've ever handled an iPhone X, it will look for all intents and purposes the same, apart from the fact that you can get it in a nice salmon pink. You can have it in a red, yellow, gunmetal grey kind of thing. A nice sparkly upbeat blue as well. I feel strange talking about a budget version when it is still £750 and, you know, the same price as flagship Galaxy handsets and whatnot. So it's a bit bonkers. I don't know if this was added. Was the iPhone X also waterproof for a few meters?
I think so, but this is, like, more waterproof? No, wow. This one is the same waterproof as the 10 was, I think. Yeah. But the S and the Max S Max, Christ, they're both more waterproof.
Yeah, so if you want to do your full scuba diving, you need to upgrade to the other models. So these other models, the more premium ones, you've got the XS, which is the step up from the, sorry, SAXS. They are 10. We have to say 10 instead of X. That's the marketing spiel, and I keep getting it wrong. The 10S. So this is actually smaller than the iPhone XR. So it's 5.8 inches. This is the more slimline version of it. However, it does feature the new improved Super Retina HD display, and that's an OLED screen. I presume you guys know this stuff, listeners, if you're savvy, but just in case you don't, the difference between LCD and OLED is to do with backlighting. So LCD, liquid crystal displays, has the colors that are created within each individual pixel, but then there is a backlight behind it, so a rig of little LEDs or something, which, boom, illuminate the display. OLED, the actual pixels themselves generate their own light. So what you end up getting is you can get brighter brights, you get much blacker blacks, because instead of having a backlight on all the time, which kind of grays out the black color when the LCD displays it, they can just switch themselves off. And so you get a kind of pure, deep black, and it just is a bit more punchy. And they're both in HDR as well, so you get the high dynamic range that you now get with 4K TVs. Pixel-wise, 2,500 pixels by about 1,100. Though at these sizes, when you start heading into this like 458 PPI, if it keeps going up, if you get up to like 600, 800, 1,000, we are hitting that point where it's going to be incredibly difficult to perceive a difference, I think.
I can't tell a difference at the moment. You show me a new screen, and I'm like, yeah, it looks exactly like the old one.
The jump from the old model, the jump from like a 1280 by 720 style HD screen to Retina displays, that was a big jump when they first released the 4S, I think, was the first one. The iPhone 4S had the Retina display, and obviously the new iPads after 2. That was lovely. I remember the iPad 3. That was the one which was very short-lived because the Retina display took so much effort for the processor to push those pixels around that it just cooked all the iPads. That was the one that constantly overheated because the processor couldn't handle the screen. We're well past that now, of course, but... screens are good now. That's just a given. The real changes, as far as I can see, are the processor itself. This Bionic processor just makes everything a little bit sexier, faster, yada yada. Cameras are 12 megapixels. This is the one that faces away from you. And the front-facing one has been tweaked a little bit as well. You get that two-lens system that where they've had for the 10 as well. Actually, no, is that new? I think the 10 only had the one. I'm second guessing myself now.
I'm so confused by what's going on.
I know
10,
this...
1, 5.
No, I think the 10R only has the one camera on the back, whereas the 10S and the 10 Max have those dual cameras, which has become quite commonplace nowadays, even on the Android devices. So extra waterproofing, that's nice. I mean, at this point, I'm slightly struggling to see what the big boost, because usually these things will launch with a big gimmick. Back in the day, it was like, hey, we've added Siri, or hey, we've got a Retina display, and that was a huge deal. And with the 10, for example, it was that basically we've gotten rid of the bevel on the edge of the screen. And with this one, it's like, well, faster.
Yeah.
It's some numbers that say faster.
The thing is that they already had... I'm sure they had an event earlier this year where they announced like new iPads and iOS 12 and stuff like that.
Mm.
So this time around, they haven't had anything from all that to really announce. They just sort of repeated, oh yeah, iOS 12 is still coming and we'll still have all these upgrades that we talked about last time, but we can't go into detail this time because we did all that before. It just felt a bit lackluster. They were just like, yeah, there's 3 phones and we've got tiny upgrades. So it just didn't have that pizzazz because it didn't have iOS 12 and all the cool AR stuff to show off. It just had the phone itself.
Mm. And even the 10 had the silly emojis where you can, you know, animate a cat and make it talk with your face and the face scanning and all that. So it doesn't have any of that whiz-bangery, really. It just has the phones are better, the screens are better. It's got HDR and all of that. It's just increased numbers and a slightly cheaper version for the old model, which is still very expensive. We've now got to the point where there's a half a terabyte model. So you've got that 512 gigabyte option. I think that was on the 10 as well.
No, they seem to say it was the first of its kind.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. That's a bigger number. That's sort of impressive. Well done, them.
I mean, how would you ever fill an iPhone with half a terabyte of stuff?
Oh,
what are you downloading?
Yeah, I suppose. True. But then, these cameras now record in 4K, so it's a bigger file size. But then the codec compresses it right down. It's not like raw data that I've been recording over at the conference. I've got about 2 terabytes of stuff to download later today. That'll be fun. Mm-hmm. So we've talked about the XR model there. Then the top model is the XS. And it's basically everything that we've just listed, but the screen is a 6.5 inch across as opposed to 6.1 inch across. That's the difference there.
Yeah.
So sorry, the XS was the smaller one, 5.8. So 5.8 and 6.5. So
it's just too many.
I know. The wireless charging has become standard in all of them. It's a little bit bigger, it's a little bit nicer, and there's not a great deal to cling on to. Which is why we were so pleased that they used the event to launch some amazing new eye-catching games, right?
Oh, yeah. There was Elder Scrolls Blades, which we've known about for ages, and
has been delayed.
Has been delayed.
Yeah.
There was some sort of weird AR-enabled basketball training assistant.
Wow.
Where they spent like 5 minutes on this guy, a video of a guy playing basketball, and when he made a shot, it made a circle on the ground where he'd made the shot from, and could show you the arc and some other stats about how fast it travelled and how far it travelled. Mm-hmm. And then if you miss the shot, it comes up with an X where he was stood. And the cool thing, it's cool because there's no markers on any of them to track it. It's just tracking it through the AR system itself and stuff like that. But it was really weird to spend so long on something that was not a game in their game section kind of thing.
I think you're overlooking AR Gallagher.
I have no words.
When that's your big announcement. Now, obviously, I guess it's because it goes without saying that the devices are always, while never the most powerful devices on the market, the Android top-end gadgets always beat them in terms of pure, like, raw horsepower. Like, for example, we're talking about 3 gig of RAM in these models, and obviously mm-hmm. you can get, like, phones with 8 and upwards. So they're never the highest spec. They're just the sleekest, and they, you know, because build quality is great and all of the other stuff you now associate with Apple. So it goes without saying that I am sure they're lovely phones, and that if you get one, it'll be very nice to use and all the rest of it. But that has become a given now, and there's not a great deal other than, well, I just need the new one because it's the new one. You know, if you're one of these people who has to have the most recent model, that's why you're getting it. If you've got a 10 already, I don't see anything that's going to make you want to jump ship, particularly beyond bragging rights.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what I was expecting, but it's that number you saw before. It's 13% higher now. Congratulations. Twitter will load imperceptibly faster. Importantly, price points. Let's talk cash-tastic stuff. So the cheaper model that we mentioned is $750. Bargain. The XS is going to be the £1,000 that you paid for the 10 last year. So this is the 10S, I should say, not XS. And then the 10S Max, the bigger version, that starts at £1,099. So they've got even more expensive.
That's 2 months' rent. That's just too much money.
Yeah. But if you're buying the stuff, then you're obviously already minted. So
true.
That's who they're appealing to. So I think those ones, the Max one has 4 gig of RAM instead of 3, so there you go. That's the big benefit there. You can obviously see our write-ups of it over on PG, but I think that's frankly all you really need to know about it. And the games weren't particularly exciting either. On the upside, the Nintendo Direct that didn't happen a couple of weeks back because of that earthquake did happen last night. I was watching it half playing out while I was in the airport getting back from Helsinki. And I've been catching up with it a little bit this morning, though only skirting over the surface. So let's do a little roundup of what we got from Nintendo. It all looked quite lovely. So lots of games announced. I guess it was it like a 45-minute thing?
It was 38 minutes, I think, in the end.
No, very specific.
Very specific.
Well, they crammed a lot in. Fair play to them for that. So let's start with Animal Crossing.
Yes!
Proper one. None of your pocket camp stuff. This is legit Animal Crossing, which is going to be appearing on Switch 2019.
And that's all we know.
Tom Nook, that heartless landlord bastard is back to bleed you dry. He's awful. He's the rentier class. He's a one percenter. I don't like Tom Nook. So what did they actually show?
He's a cartoon raccoon.
Yeah, but he's an absolute capitalist scumbag. So what did it actually show?
Nothing. They showed a quick trailer of Tom Nook saying, hey, I've got to make sure the town's ready for everyone. And then it just cut to Animal Crossing coming to Switch 2019. That's it. The footage they showed was definitely pre-rendered and not gameplay. I think at the start they said not gameplay footage. Okay. So we have not seen anything of the game.
I see a bit of Isabella. Isabel, rather.
Isabel was a joke announcement.
I see.
That was a tease announcement for her joining the cast of Smash Bros.
Gotcha.
She's going to be an Omega character for Villager, which basically means she'll have the same moveset, but she'll move slightly differently, and her attacks will have different power, I think.
But the Animal Crossing one itself, as you say, no real concrete details, just the fact that it has been confirmed. Everyone's mm-hmm. delighted about that. I was watching the feedback from Twitter as well as the event itself. So that's how you judge these things, how much snark is going on social media.
Indeed.
So look forward to that. Now, Luigi's Mansion 3. So I've never sat down and played a whole Luigi's Mansion game, any of them. We were talking before. I know the first one is the GameCube, then you had the 3DS version. So mm-hmm. 3 has appeared. What is this looking like? I'm just watching the tiny wee tease a bit now.
It looks very much like the original, which is good. I believe the second one wasn't as good as the original because it focused on bite-sized levels and stuff. More of a handheld kind mm-hmm. of designed game because it was for 3DS. Whereas this looks more like the original GameCube, sort of Metroidvania-esque style gameplay where you slowly unlock more areas of the mansion and pick up abilities and stuff. I don't think you actually pick up abilities in Luigi's Mansion. But anyway, and fight bosses and all this kind of thing. And it just looks really nice from the very brief trailer they've showed. If that's actual gameplay footage, it looked great. And hopefully it plays brilliantly as well, because the first Luigi's Mansion was spectacular.
Yeah, it feels like one that I wish I had played. We were talking about before about my Wii's ability to emulate GameCube. It's probably one I should go and grab and have a playthrough.
Absolutely.
Along with the new announcement of Mansion 3, they also revealed that they're bringing the OG Luigi's Mansion over to 3DS in October?
Yep, that had been announced before, but they have revealed that it's got co-op now.
Oh, that's cute.
Which is interesting. So you can do full co-op of the entire game mm-hmm. if both people have a copy of the game. Or if you've just got one copy of the game, you can do download play, and then your co-op partner can join you in boss battles.
Oh, nice.
In their specific boss rush mode type thing.
The second character, it sort of appears as like a translucent, slimy, almost like a ghost himself.
Yeah, it's really weird.
So that's the 19th of October for that. Again, all we've got is sort of 2019 for a lot of these new release games, without any actual date attached to it. But that's good news. More Luigi's Mansion. Katamari, Damachi? Did we decide?
Damachi?
Damachi?
Yeah?
You said the song.
Na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na, Katamari Damachi.
There you go, we'll use that pronunciation. So we've got a real revealed trailer of Katamari Damachi re-roll. And it looks like, I'm watching it now, he's rolling a big ball of stuff around. Yeah, he is. It's getting bigger as he rolls it. It's definitely Katamari.
It's a remaster of the first game, I believe.
Oh, that'll be why it looks
familiar. Which is the re-roll. That'll be good because I've played some of the Katamaris after the original and I just mm-hmm. didn't really click with them.
Okay.
But the original is supposedly fantastic and I don't think the original designer ever worked on any games apart from Katamari Damachi. So,
really?
Yeah, I think hopefully this one will be the perfect version to finally play. And plus, okay. It's like a really rare PS2 game at this point, so the fact it's getting re-released is really nice.
Yeah, sounds like it's the one true version of the game. So that's coming on digitally on November the 30th, and then you also get a physical copy appearing a week later if you're into actual cartridges and all that business. That's cute. That's nice to see. The one thing that was making me laugh was Final Fantasy. We were only talking last week, I think, about the Final Fantasy crowd being the kind of people who don't mind paying for the same game over and over again. And lo, Nintendo announced the release of most of the Final Fantasy back catalogue, after 6 anyway, coming over onto Switch.
Yeah. So you got Pocket Edition HD, Final Fantasy 15 Pocket Edition HD, which launched at midnight. So that's available now. Then I think the next one coming is... you probably know, you've got it written in front of you. Is World of Final Fantasy...
I don't have the date, so, like, yeah, the World of Final Fantasy Maxima appears after that one, apparently.
Yeah, I think that's November 16th.
Which uses the same sort of chibi art style, then.
Yeah, it's kind of a blockier chibi art style. It was a PS4 game, and I'm guessing this is, like, a fuller version of the game, and it's got proper turn-based battles and stuff like that. And I think you can wear the... characters as hats or something.
I'm not even going to probe any further into
that. There was something about like stacking characters on top of each other to make them more powerful. I don't really understand. I never played it, but...
Oh, God. Okay, cool. that's going to be appearing on November 6th. That's the release date for that
one. That's the one. November 6th.
Next, Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles Remastered Edition. So this is the GameCube one, right?
Yeah, that was the one where you had to play... Everybody had to play with a Game Boy Advance linked up to the GameCube using the link cables.
I remember that idea that really did not catch on at all.
I played that. I couldn't find a single person who would play it with me.
No, that's the problem. Getting four people in a room who had Game Boy Advances and the cables required.
And in single player, it just was not a particularly fun game. However, they've done away with all that now. So it's four player, just with Joy-Cons all on the same screen. And it also has online multiplayer at last. So you can get people in even if they're not in the same room as you.
Well, that's something.
Good.
That makes a lot more sense. You will then move on to... Oh, hang on. Is that really Chocobo? Or Chocobo's Mystery Dungeon?
Chocobo's Mystery Dungeon, everybody.
What? So is this new, or is this something from an old game? I've not heard of this before.
Apparently this is a sequel, but I don't remember this game ever coming out.
What?
It must have been a Japan-only thing, because they said it was the second in the series. But it basically, I think, from what I can see, it looks a lot like Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, hence the name.
Mm-hmm.
And you play as a chocobo, and you can get one of your enemies to follow you around in your party, and it's a top-down roguelike dungeon crawler type thing.
Oh.
It looks very similar to some other... There's a lot of like these kinds of games in Japan, where it's all like top-down battles, and it all happens in... You move, and everything moves when you move, kind of roguelike, old-school kind of thing.
Gotcha.
It just looks... bizarre, and I can't believe it's being made, but...
And it has the suffix everybody!
Yeah, because every character is available to become your buddy.
That's lovely. I still want to call them Chocobos. That's how I read it, you know, because when you're playing the initial game, no one says anything out loud in the OG games, so I always read it Chocobo, and I know it's Chocobo, but... No, as long as I'm alive, that's how I'm going to read it. So we then move on to Final Fantasy XII, The Zodiac Age, which was the HD remaster that got pushed onto the PS4 and that a year or two ago. It's been out for a while.
I think it was earlier this year, actually. Or maybe it was last year?
It feels like it wasn't that long ago.
Hang on, I'm going to look it up now.
Is it? All right. Well, this one was nicely done, actually. It's funny, 12, because I only played it a little bit when it appeared on the PS2. It was right at the end of the PS2's life cycle. And I think it got slightly overlooked because of that. It was the third person wandering around in the style of 10. And it had a sort of halfway between an active and turn-based battle system, which threw me off at the time. But I remember the most notable thing about the re-release that they did was that they included the speed-up timer. So you can max out the gameplay speed. So it times it by 2, times it by 4. It was like the game acknowledging that it was a bit tedious.
Mm.
So you can play it on like 4 times speed if you're sick of grinding through, you know, really slow battles just to level up, which was an interesting choice because it does feel like... So you know this is boring?
It's what they did with the mobile releases as well of 7 and 9. They added in speed-ups, and you could get rid of random encounters and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's the one. I don't remember the speed-up on 7, but I remember get rid of random encounters, and also you can just play it on max level. You just hit the max level button
if
you're just interested in story or something. I mean, more options are good. I don't actually knock this stuff. I think it's good. For example, what they're doing now with the new Tomb Raider Shadow of the Tomb Raider thing that's appeared, the idea that you can adjust the difficulty of the combat and you can adjust the difficulty of the puzzle separately to tailor it to what you want, that stuff's good. I think giving people the ability to get into games however they want, that's a positive. And if you don't want that, just leave it, you know, and play it as the designers intended. That works out really well. So this one's 12 is going to be appearing in 2019. Again, no specific release date on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Then, also later next year, so Final Fantasy VII appears once more, and 9, and 10.10.2 HD. I don't know how many different versions there are of Final Fantasy VII now. Because you've got... So let's say PS1.
Yep.
Was it ported onto PS2? Probably
No, it was ported onto PC.
Ported onto PC. Then there was a PS3 version where you can buy the original 4x3 untweaked. Then there was a HD version on PS3. Then there was that same HD version released on PS4. Mm-hmm. You've got the PC version, as you mentioned. Now you've got this one on the Switch, which is presumably going to be the HD'd version.
Yes.
Which...
And they're all also releasing it on Xbox One. I know I don't cover that, but...
Yeah,
they are releasing it on every console now.
The thing with those two versions, I don't like the HD remaster. I think it looks funny.
Huh.
I don't like it when they take the PlayStation art, you know, the big chunky geometry, mm-hmm. the big polygons with the wobbly aliased edges, so everything looks like a ladder.
Yeah.
And smooth that out, because the problem is you've got those pre-rendered backgrounds which have been drawn in that lovely, like really gorgeous, but quite low resolution pixel art style. And then you have this really smooth edged HD but low poly character on front. And I think it clashes. It looks strange. I want Final Fantasy VII to look like the PS1 version with all the wobbly movement that goes with it. Because to me, those two things are part of the atmosphere of the game.
Yeah.
And I almost got the HD version for PS4 and then looked at it and went, yeah, I don't like it. I think it looks weird. I'm not in. So I presume it's going to be that version of it. So that's going to be coming out for the umpteenth time. 9, which people are... is that a forgotten one?
No, I think it's one of the forgotten really ones, but everyone loves.
Yeah, I've played it on the iPad. That was a version that I did. That's the one where the little wizardy character who looks like He-Man's little buddy appears. Or She-Ra's little buddy. It's basically a hat.
Yes.
The hat with eyes. It's called Vivi, actually.
Vivi, I think that's the one.
The character. Yeah. I think that was one of the last ones to appear on the PS1.
Yes.
It was right at the end of that life cycle.
Mm.
And then you've got 10, which is one of my favourites.
Really?
I love 10.
Wow.
I know, right? So that was the PS2 era one. And there's something about 10 that I love. And I think it's to do with the incredibly like brash colour scheme, and it's just very big.
Mm.
Tidus, even though every character is insanely over-designed, and you've got the lassie with the she's basically got a dress made out of 20,000 belts. She looks like a goth witch.
Oh, yeah, I know who you mean.
And she's a bit cross all the time. She's
I think
great.
You're confusing her with Yuna. That's where you're...
Yeah, Yuna, who's the nice, your female protagonist slash love interest character, with her nice staff, doing the summons. And beyond the Tidus laugh meme, which is obviously an all-time classic.
That's all I can ever think about.
I love it.
When I think of it.
The fact that Blitzball, your Blitzball playing buddy Wacker, is Bender from Futurama. You know, it's the guy who does the voice of Marcus Fenix and all of that. But yeah.
Really?
Yeah, when I went back and played the HD version, that's when I remembered it, because I didn't notice at the time when it appeared on PS2. But yeah, it's your man doing the voice for that, which was fun. But no, I really, really like it. I don't like Blitzball. That's rubbish.
Yeah.
And I will fight you. But the rest of it, for some reason, I really gelled with it, and I found it the most entertaining in the weirdest world, and Riku's daft and fun, and yeah, everything about it. That's the one that really works for me. Some of the other ones fall into the trap of feeling like 9. People really like 9. This is why I confused it with a slightly unpopular one.
Mm-hmm.
It was popular. I just found it a bit boring, because it feels more generic fantasy. Whereas 10 feels weird.
Yeah.
Like, it's not steampunk. It's not straight fantasy. I don't quite know what it is, but it's very bright and unusual. And for me, it really stood out amongst some of the other ones. I mean, 12 is a bit like that. 12 feels more generic fantasy landish. and the colours are much more muted. And for me, that made it less interesting, not more. I think one of the things that people love about 7 so much, beyond the fact that it was just the first step into 3D and a lot of people's first Final Fantasy game and, you know, that big breakthrough in the West, certainly, is that very distinctive art style. It's the Blade Runner-esque, steampunky purple and turquoise, which is now the only colour schemes people are using at the minute, the bisexual lighting thing we've talked about before. That's one of the things that makes it stick, beyond the gameplay and beyond, you know, Cloud and Tifa and the rest of it. It's just got, it had a really distinctive look. And to me, 10 has the same thing, a really distinctive look. So that's also coming 2019.
But what about 10-2?
10-2 is coming. It's part of it. I haven't played it.
Oh, 10-2 is great.
I've got it, and I will do. I was playing through 10 again, and I'm gonna do 10-2. But I do hear it's good.
10-2 is one of the stupidest games ever.
Isn't it the one with it's all the girls?
Yeah, and you can, like, you don't really have a leveling up system. You just have different outfits or something.
Oh, for God's sake.
It's just really dumb.
Of course it is. Yeah, sorry about the big Final Fantasy sidebar there, but yeah, that's coming. Of course, the big joke around all of it, the glaring omission here, is poor old Final Fantasy VIII, eh? What happened there?
I was reading something about it, and it's because Square Enix basically lost all the source code.
Is that the reason?
I believe so. I saw a thread on Twitter, I can't remember who it was, but it was basically a thread that said that the source code for Final Fantasy VII and VIII were both lost. But Final Fantasy VII was such a huge release that they went back and kind of just fixed it all and put it all back together again from what they had. So the PC version of Final Fantasy VII was a buggy mess when it was first released. And in the end, Square, like, stole a fan-made patch to fix it all.
Oh, really?
And then, like, erased any evidence after they found out that it had been stolen. They were like, oops, and just quickly erased the coder's name from the code because it was in there.
Okay.
So basically, to port 8 to anything, they'd have to basically do the same and go back and try and piece it all together. So it would just be such a huge pain, and people hated 8 because
that was the problem,
really,
wasn't
weird.
It? To me, it was. They did suffer because, I guess, you know, the exposure to 7. And Squall and his gunblade was always a little bit strange. But they tried to go much more realistic in the character proportions with 8.
Yeah.
So instead of them being these big, chunky, you know, stylized characters, they tried to make them look more realistic. And on the PlayStation 1, it just meant they looked really thin and anemic and very low resolution, it looked. The chunkiness helped to hide the fact that the edges were all jaggy. The slimmer you make the characters, the more the edges of each individual, you know, body part and that come closer together, and the more you're looking at kind of a waving, jaggedy collection of vertical lines.
Yeah.
Like, shimmying around one another. If you put a big fat block of space, a big barrack chest, in the middle of the edges of his body, there's a nice big gap there, and, you know, you can lock onto something. So I really feel like it didn't look great. And again, that felt muted, didn't it? That felt like a much less colourful, distinctive-looking game.
Yeah, I guess. The opening hours in particular were very dark and bleak, mostly because you were entering war zones and stuff.
Yeah.
I really loved 8, because it was my first ever Final Fantasy.
Oh, okay.
As a child, it was mind-blowing to me, because I'd never heard of Final Fantasy before then, somehow. 7 completely passed me by, and 8 was just the first thing that I played, and I thought the gunblade was the coolest weapon in the world. And just all the really sort of dumb things that you look back on now and go, ugh, as me as a child, was like, oh, this is so cool. I love the weird card game and all this kind of thing. And there's a sniper.
I'm told that there is. I had a look. Apparently, there is a port of 8 that was released on PC back in 2010.
Yes.
But it was a bit sketchy.
Yeah. I think that's the same thing that happened with 7.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Well, so that's the Final Fantasy lineup you've got to look forward to. Everything except 8. Apologies for 8 people all appearing between now and the end of 2019. Cities Skylines is out right now.
Yeah, it launched at midnight. It is a full version of the previously released game, through a console edition, I think. So it was on PC a couple of years ago, and then it was ported to Xbox and PS4, and I think this is the console version, because it's obviously got all the sticks and stuff, and rather than having overly complex menus designed for mouse and keyboard, you've got it all works through sticks and things. And it comes with the first two DLC packs that came with the console version.
Oh, very good.
Which add snow and something else.
I've heard a lot of good things about this, that this almost took over in the wake of SimCity. Back when they released SimCity, the online version.
Yes.
And people reacted badly to it. Some people really liked it, but there was a lot of people going, I don't want an online version, this is rubbish. That was around the time City Skylines went, hey, so you like old SimCity, do you? Well, check me out. And people were very, very keen on that one.
Yeah, it definitely launched at the right time, but was also a very good game to boot.
Yeah, so. In its own right.
Yeah.
What I'd be interested to know with this version is, like, couldn't it not take advantage of touchscreen stuff? The problem with Switch is that only works if it's not docked, so you can't commit to that as a pure control system, because mm-hmm. it won't work when you stick it next to the TV. But isn't this the kind of game that would work very well with, you know, tappy-tappy, pointy-pointy, build here, all that business?
Yes, I'm literally playing it right now, and unfortunately it does not have touchscreen controls at all.
All right.
So it is just all sticks and stuff. It would be good to have touchscreen, but I guess that's just extra development time for something that most people wouldn't use, I guess.
Yeah, it's the problem. I imagine it'll only be a fringe group. Yeah. But getting that on your hand, I imagine that's fun for people, because I think it's the same with Animal Crossing and the growy one. What am I thinking of? The one
Harvest
where
Moon?
You... No, the other one that's a bit like that, but not quite. The one that Em loves and everybody...
Stardew Valley,
there you go. All those ones where you can sort of carry your own city or your own farm or whatever is around with you mm-hmm. and check on it and tweak little bits and see how it's going. It's part of the reason that the mobile versions of those games have done so well. The free-to-play mechanic playing on you constantly popping back to your village or your town and checking in and seeing what's going on.
Yeah.
Without having to fire up a whole, you know, your TV and your console and be in one place. So you're going to be reviewing that, I'm guessing.
Yes, I've played through the tutorial so far, because I've been mm-hmm. busy this morning picking up on all the direct news. It handles pretty well. I like the control system. I'd seen elsewhere that it was suffering from performance issues when they were showing it off at Gamescom, but I haven't bumped into any of those yet. Although my town is incredibly small, so there's a chance for it to, once it grows, there might be more issues.
Right. So we've got some games that actually came out this week for mobile as well. So one of them is we've got Chaos Reborn Adventurers, which is apparently from the original OG creator of XCOM, according to the blurb. Again, I haven't played this, so this is a very premium $9.99 game, fantasy RPG. So creating your own characters, and then, well, it looks nice, it looks very pretty, but, you know, I haven't played it, I can't say anything particularly useful about it, but I will be getting on it because we do have a code on the joint account, so I'll be videoing the heck out of that early next week. We've got Rocket of Whispers Prologue. I'm guessing this is... I think I played the Rocket of Whispers or one of the games in this series.
Yeah, I can't remember what the first one was called now, but its subtitle was Rocket of Whispers, which is the weird thing.
So this is part of the Opus series.
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah, that's right. So this is a prologue, a short prologue to one of those games. This is getting loads of good ratings. It's free. You can download it for free, whereas the other games are premium. But it's this story of the world being on the brink of collapse. It's all set in this almost Arctic environment, and you're a young girl, and the idea is you're trying to build a rocket to go off world and explore new possibilities. But I never completed it, but it got the feeling that, like, we're all trying to make this rocket to get out, but the rocket is this, like, beacon of hope that may or may not actually work or actually be going anywhere. I might be bungling the memory of it, but it was unusual. It's got basically exploring a little bit of a world, doing some puzzles, collecting pieces, talking to characters. It's quite a somber tone. You might as well play the prologue if it's free and you're a fan. It's already doing quite well. Lots of ratings. People love it. So that's available to download for free. And we've also got Meowth. Meowth? Meowth?
Meowth, I guess.
And it is. Oh. Odd. You've got to control a cat and a dog at the same time moving through. It looks like top-down environments. It's arcade action. You're killing people. You're collecting circular things. I haven't played it. I don't know. As you can tell, this is a slightly loose section of what I just... Hopefully, some people who are listening to it might go, oh, I've been waiting for that game. And then they can go and have a look at it. We will do proper reviews and proper video stuff on it next week. But it was kind of a quiet week for iOS, possibly because of all the announcements elsewhere. Is there anything else that happened while I was gone that was good?
The main thing that came out was the latest Labo pack for Switch.
Oh, yeah, you said that, right. So, originally there were two packs, mm-hmm. correct?
Where so, there was... Yeah, there was the variety pack, which had a bunch of different things, and there was the robot pack, which just had a robot.
Yeah, yeah. And so now we've got this third one. What's the theme of that?
So this is the vehicle kit, which gives you three different vehicles that you can control and build and stuff like that. So you get a car, a submarine, and a plane. And you have to build all those up, and then you can put them into a game. So my problem with the previous Labo games was mm-hmm. that the games themselves weren't very good, and they just kind of acted as sort of a starting point to show you what can be done with the cardboard kits.
Got you.
This time around, they've actually put a game in there, which is really good. There's this whole adventure mode, which gives you a open world. It's not very big, but there's mm-hmm. lots to do in it. You go around, you complete objectives, you have to switch between the different vehicles to complete various objectives, because they all have their different traits. And it's just really fun. The game itself that it actually comes with is really enjoyable.
So I remember looking at the controllers themselves, because you control the vehicles, you said, a flying thing, a submarine, and a dune bugger, 4x4. But what you actually get to build is you get to build the steering wheel for the car, so that includes like an acceleration foot pedal, you've got the steering wheel itself, it's like gear shifters on the side of it, and a little, what looks like in those toys that you pull a cord and it speaks.
Yes.
It's got one of those in it as well. And then if you switch to the other machines, the flying machine, the aeroplane's got like more like a joystick.
Yeah, there's just a joystick.
And then the submarine is the coolest looking one anyway, which is like two turn wheels either side. So you kind of like put your hands in either side, like you're putting your hands into some kind of furry arm warmer things that you put your hand together. If I was walking around Russia, I might wear one of those. But you just like grab either side of it, and then you're twisting these wheels to change your, presumably, pitch and yaw and all that business.
Mm.
And they all work, right?
Yeah, they're all amazing. Like, genuinely, they take ages to build. The car, it recommends, is going to take at least 2.5 hours to build.
Huh.
Maximum, like, 3.5 hours. I think I was building them with my girlfriend, and we took about 3 hours to do them, mostly because we took a huge break in the middle of it, because it's just the labor is like so intense. You can do it at your own pace, obviously, because you can just control how you go through the instructions, but there's just a lot to do before you actually get to play the games.
Okay.
You're putting together these weird bits of cardboard, and you don't really know what it is, and you've got stickers and everything, and foam pads, and all this kind of stuff, and then you get it, and it's like, oh, it's a steering wheel, and then you start driving, it's like, oh, this works perfectly. And then you need to, so that you have to build this key thing as well, which mm-hmm. you can then take out and shove it into a different car. And while you do that, the car on screen just stops moving. And then you shove it in something else, and it transforms into a different vehicle entirely. And the move is just seamless. It's just amazing how quickly it changes. There's no loading or anything. It just goes, oh, this is this vehicle now, and starts setting off in that direction. And that sort of style.
Brilliant.
So it's really, it is magical how it all goes together in the end. But God, it takes forever to do.
What happens if you transform into the submarine on dry land?
You can still move around, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you move very, very slowly, but you can move around. Because basically, what you're controlling with the two wheels, which, by the way, go clickety-clack as you move them.
Oh, shut up. That's
and you have to build that bit yourself. It's really complex to make these little clackers. It's just two jets that you're basically controlling. And then the foot pedal controls the acceleration on every vehicle. So in this case, it just like as you put your foot down, it puts power through these engines, so you can just point them in different directions to turn and stuff like that. And that still works on land as well. But as I say, you go super slow.
I feel like the true way to play the submarine version is with two people. One person in another room with the screen, and then going, 10 degrees port starboard, do 10 degrees port starboard.
That would be great.
If you want to get the full experience.
I would play the heck out of that. That would be awesome.
Claustrophobic metal tube with barely any windows. Splendid. That does look killer fun. As you say, the building part was kind of the interesting bit about the other games, but the games themselves were a little bit flat.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if this has actually got a game behind it, once you've finished setting it all up, that's much more appealing.
Yeah, and one of the interesting things you can do as well is you can use custom controls, so you don't have to use the toy cons that you build to play mm-hmm. the game. So if you just want to sort of sit down and power through all the objectives and stuff, you can program a Joy-Con to just play the game thing. Okay. So you can program it so all the buttons will do different things, as opposed to motion controls through all the Joy-Cons, Toy-Cons and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it takes a bit of setting up, but if you really want to, if you really can't be bothered setting up all the cardboard and getting all the various things in the right places and finding enough room for it all, you can just reprogram the game to work how you want to play it. So it's really interesting that they finally included a way to do that as well, because obviously the robot, you had to just, you know, that was just stick everything on and do it. Whereas this time, you can just sit down, play the game as if it's a normal game, and not worry about having to do anything with the Toy-Cons.
Nice.
So yeah, it's really cool. I would really recommend it if you've got 60 quid and you don't mind spending 5.5 hours building stuff before you can actually play the game.
Nah, mate, that's a good bit. I'm fine with that. One day, one of these days, I'll get around to it. Cool. Okay, well, that's actually taken up much more time than I thought. Brilliant. We will be back next week, probably with them as well, and it'll be a more traditional podcast, but we've got to do the yearly big announcement special thing. So if you want to get a new iPhone, any of those three models, you can put your names down right now as you're listening to it. And if you can, then I admire your bank balance. Well done. But also, if you are a Switch owner, then lots and lots to look forward to. And come and join us next week, where we'll talk about a lot more mobile games. Thanks for listening, everyone. See you next time.
See ya.